George Brett has joined us and you here on Sports Byline USA. We're talking with the Hall of Famer. George, I love the quote that I read today about the Yankee-Royals rivalry. You said, we hated each other. The Royals and the Yankees hated each other. It was a great rivalry. To this day, when I see Lou Piniella, we talk about, God, I hated you guys. We had fun and we had physical games. It was the way baseball was meant to be played. Two questions. One, what were the seeds of that rivalry and that hatred? And two, do you think we have those same type of rivalries today in baseball?
Well, I don't know if the Kansas City Royals do with realignment and things like that and not being in postseason play since, I think, 1985. But we went up against the Yankees in 1976, the first year we played them, and Chris Chambliss hit a home run off us in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they won the game. And the next year we went up against them again in the playoffs, and we were winning in the going into the fifth and final game, and they got two runs off us in the bottom of the top of the ninth inning in Kansas City to go ahead and go on to win the World Series, I believe, in 77. And then in 78, the same matchup, 1980, the same matchup. And you just kind of got tired of losing, and we kind of took it over during the season, and we would not forget the disappointment and the heartbreak that they caused us to have in the playoffs, and the games became very, very physical, and it was very, very exciting. Every time the Yankees came to Kansas City, there were sellout crowds. The city of Kansas City, a very small Midwestern town with maybe backwards ways compared to New York City. It was fight for survival and fight for, you know, the right to say, hey, we're in the big leagues too. And it was real exciting. The fans in Kansas City have been great for such a long time, and this was their one weekend throughout the season that they could come out and just let their hair out and become New Yorkers and have fun at the ballpark, and it was really, really wild. It was great.
When I think of baseball, I do think of cities like Kansas City, and we hear a lot from the fans there. You fell in love with Kansas City, even though you were a California guy, and you once said, I grew up in California in the ocean, but I've lived in Kansas City since 73. I married a girl from Kansas City, and all three of our boys were born in Kansas City. I adopted this city because this city adopted me at an early age. That's one of the things I'm most proud of. Does that happen very often, do you think, or do you have to be there for a long while? I mean, there has been a love affair between Kansas City and George Brett. What's the essence of it?
Well, Kansas City is just a very nice town. It's a beautiful city. Those of you that have never been here, I mean, I recommend you come here. It's a beautiful stadium. The fans here and the people that live in the Midwest, they have tremendous Midwest hospitality and very, very friendly. And it's just a good place to raise your family. I really believe that. We have a lot of players here that want to end their careers in Kansas City. But with the financial situation that baseball's in, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford it, people like that. But we have a lot of ex-major league players that have played here for a very short time. A Mike Boddicker, who played in Baltimore for years, still makes his home in Kansas City. Mark Clear, who used to pitch for the Angels and the Red Sox, came here as a visiting player and fell in love with the city and ended up living here. But there's a lot of guys that live here that play for the Royals that live here all winter and seem to enjoy it. It's just a great place. It's a very nice place. If there was an ocean and if we didn't have cold winters, it would be the best place on earth. Unfortunately, it gets a little chilly in the winter, and there's no ocean to go body surfing.
Yeah, I always tell people the only white thing we see on the ground here in California in the winter is sand, not snow.
Yeah, we get a little snow. It hasn't been bad the last few years, but it is a beautiful city.
What is the philosophy now of the Kansas City Royals as to how to compete in the sport of baseball?
It's a very strict camp. It's not military per se per word, but it is no fooling around, no special favors, and the whole organization from top to bottom goes through it right now. Whether you're a first-year player in Spokane, Washington, signing out of college, or if you're a 4 or 5 year veteran in Kansas City, there's no special favors here. There's no stars on our ball club, and everybody goes out and competes for the team and the name on the front of your jersey rather than the name on the back of your jersey. And it's tough with a $22 million payroll to go out there and play the Yankees. It's tough. But these guys got off to a great, great start. It's a good place to play. It really is. And like I said, the stadium is beautiful. Probably one of the best stadiums still in baseball. It was built in 1973, and I think it's still one of the finest in the league. And the philosophy is to keep them here as long as you possibly can. Make them want to play here. Make them maybe want to sign here for a little bit less than they could if they were a free agent and go someplace else. and just kind of sell them on the organization. The organization was very, very successful in the past, and it's going to be very difficult for us to be successful now with a $22 million payroll, but hopefully baseball will recognize that and do something for revenue sharing throughout the game.
Let me go back to the kids for just a second. Your kids, you talk about them picking up the game and playing the game. Are you concerned in any degree that George Brett will be the measuring stick for your kids that have to follow you?
I hope not. My middle boy today, Dylan, I was so proud of him the way he was swinging the bat today. I said, Dylan, I'm really proud of you that you're really starting to hit the ball good. And we have our first practice tomorrow night from 6 to 7. And I said, I hope you can just take that into practice. He says, Dad, I'll be a good baseball player. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, because you were. And, you know, here's a guy that, he's 5. I retired 7 years ago. But, you know, the kids at school and the older kids at his school that he goes to, and Jackson, my oldest boy, who's 7, you know, he got a chance to see me play, but he saw me play when he was 3 or 4 or 5 months old, and that was it. I retired right after he was 6 years old when I or 6 months old when I retired. So every once in a while, we put in a film and let them watch them. They like to watch the Pine Tar game. I have that on tape, and they like to watch Dad run out of the dugout and yell with the umpires and things like that. But they know I was a baseball player, and hopefully they'll just go out there. And believe me when I say this, if they're not very good and they don't want to play, I'm not going to force them. I'm just going to do basically what my father instilled in me. You know, be the best you can be, whatever you want to be. If that's a plumber, if that's a piano player, if that's a singer, if that's a an architect. I just want you to be the best that you can possibly be and not leave anything on the table.
George, when you take a look at kids today, do you think they have the same passion for the game as they're growing up? Because there seems to be so many other things for them to do. And I don't get the feel, at least from talking to the fans across the country, that there's that passion. And I think it's been lost a little bit. Maybe it's because some of the labor problems. But what's your gut feeling about kids today in baseball?
Well, I don't know if they have the love that we had. I remember in the summer, we'd go to the beach and play. We'd go to the playgrounds and play. We'd play in the backyard. Not just when it was baseball season, but you can do that in California growing up. Here, you know, baseball season ends in October because it gets a little chilly here sometimes. Every once in a while we get nice days. We go out in the backyard and play. But, you know, my sons are on the swim team at the country club. They take karate lessons for discipline reasons, and they play soccer, they play basketball, and they play, you know, whatever sport it is, they go out and play, and I'm sure it's going to get more and more hectic as time goes on and they get older and older. But right now they all love to play baseball. I mean, even the four-year-old, when I go pick him up from preschool, I picked him up today at 3 o'clock, and I said, Robin, what do you want to do when we go home? And he said, I want to play catch. You know, so, you know, right now I think they know that Dad likes baseball, and if they want to pursue it, I will do everything in my power to make them as good as they possibly can be. But if they don't want to, I don't want to force them.
Was it hard for you to walk away from the game after 21 years, or were you already looking down the road and put it into its proper perspective when you did walk away?
Well, I was going to retire in 92, and I thought about it a little bit, and I ended up retiring in one more season. I retired after the 93 season, and it got to a point, Ron, where, in all honesty, for the first 18, 19, 20 years I played, I always prided myself on being the first one to the locker room and the last one to leave. And all of a sudden, I was married, and I had a child at home, and because I didn't get married till I was 38 years old. But all of a sudden, you know, I'd lay down, and I was getting tired, and it was tough to go out there and compete every night at 40 years old. And, you know, I'd tell my wife at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, normally I'm at the ballpark at 2. And I'd say at 2 o'clock, I'd say, you know, I'm going to lay down for about an hour. Can you wake me up at 3:30? I got to take a nap. I'm tired. And it just got to a point where going to the ballpark was almost, you know, like, oh, God, we have another game tonight. I don't want to go. I'm tired of playing, you know. And it made my decision very, very easy. The one thing that I have done that I think more players should try to do, because it is a very painful acclimation, that period that you have once you play for so long, and then all of a sudden you walk away, it's tough to go, you know, in February. I go to spring training. You know, all of a sudden in February, you're not going to go to spring training anymore. But I've gone to spring training every year with the Kansas City Royals. I report with the pitchers and the catchers, and I throw batting practice. I hit fungos, And after doing that for 6 weeks, I know why I retired. I'm good for 6 weeks. I don't know if I'd be good for 6 months.
George, I tell you, you never cheated the game. You never cheated the fans. And you were certainly that ambassador to baseball that I know you always wanted to be. Thank you very much for your time. The best to the family. And thank you for the kindness here on Sports Byline USA. Always nice to have you here on the show.
Well, thanks, Ron. Enjoyed being with you.
George Brett with us, the Hall of Famer with the Kansas City Royals. And, of course, he won the World Series in 1985. We'll take a quick break as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.